fourth and final hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Friday afternoon. It is indeed trivia time. It's what we do every Friday to close out the week. Hope everybody's having a great day. Looks like it's a beautiful day outside. First day we haven't been in the arena in the last 3 days. That's where we've been Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. In fact, it was, what was it, Wednesday. Man, we're in the arena. They're doing an inter-squad scrimmage. They're doing sound effects like in-game, you know, Crazy Kyle, Paul McCann, music. And we could hear the thunder and the rain in the arena. We had some crazy storms come through as we started up the fourth and final hour on that day. But outside today, looking very, very nice. A couple things to pass along before we get into trivia, by the way, so we don't have to give the speech, 615-737-1025. Jump in there. Get involved. Going to have fun. We got Dunkin' Donuts gift cards to give away. That's the prize this week, Dunkin' Donuts gift cards. But we need you to participate. Only two rounds.
Do we need to get Hal Gill on to, as the Dunkin' Donuts guy? The Dunkin' Donuts guy, remember from earlier this week?
Right. He, of course,
maybe that would set the mood for people.
He knows Boston guy, for sure. Air quotes, Boston guy, for sure. Yeah, Hal could definitely set up the tone for Dunkin' Donuts gift cards. That's what's on the line. Only two rounds. Chase is not here. So typically when all three of us are here, you got to go through three of us, three rounds, only two rounds this week to win that Dunkin' Donuts gift card. But you got to call in and participate. 615-737-1025. The Blue Jays have announced Pittsburgh. Nope, that got 86th. Okay, let's go Baltimore. Camden Yards, share that with the O's. Nope, that's been 86th. And now Toronto will be in Buffalo. They'll be in Buffalo with Buster Bison. That is going to be their home for this upcoming Major League Baseball season. They've got to do, so I guess, some upgrades, quick upgrades. Luckily for them, Toronto starts off on the road. They will start off their season versus the Rays down in Tampa. And they've been socially distancing down in Tampa for probably decades. So at least what it feels like. So no fans down in Tampa, but so Toronto will be on the road. So wanted to pass that along. Also, Austin Rivers has left the bubble down in Orlando. Got some positive tests. We found out Juan Soto yesterday has tested positive for the Nationals. Clayton Kershaw was expected to pitch last night for the Dodgers. He was put on the DL. They went with a rookie and a full slate of action, including Willie's Mets and the Bravos to kick off the action today. That'll be a 3 o'clock.
And along those
hour
lines,
time.
The Braves, the Braves are without their two top catchers. Both are feeling sick, but they tested negative for the virus. But you can't take any chances. They've been retested, and they had to shuffle them down and call up the next two catchers. I just think this is going to be something that happens from time to time. I noticed our buddy Caleb Joseph is the third catcher on the depth chart for the Blue Jays. I would imagine, you know, there's a good chance that he's going to get some time with the rotation that is likely to happen either through injury, et cetera. But a twist for the Braves, who already had the whole ordeal with Freddie Freeman, who I think is good to go today. So
yes, from everything I was
this
reading,
this is going to be a whirlwind these next couple months.
Yep, it does look like he has been given the thumbs up and is good to go today to play with his team. All right, let's get going. You ready to do a little trivia?
Are we ready? Yeah, let's go. 737-1025. Answer two questions. You win some Dunkin' Donuts.
And go on.
Dunkies, as they call them.
Go on and throw in the 615 area code while you're at it.
Yes. Don't forget to do that. I would assume people would know that you dial the 615, but, you know, maybe we should not assume.
Nope. All right, let's start things off with Don. We've got Predators and baseball. Don, welcome into Friday Trivia.
Sure, no problem.
Where do you want to start?
Baseball.
Baseball is where Don would like to start.
All right, let's start off with a little baseball. There is one player in Major League Baseball who is active and has over 600 home runs. Can you name that player? The only active player with over 600 home runs.
Just a total guess, David Ortiz.
David Ortiz
is the guess.
Is the guess. And that is incorrect.
Correct.
Yeah.
Big Poppy is not active. He did retire.
I'm sorry.
So that kind of made him ineligible.
Yep.
I'm so sorry.
All right, Don. No problem. You're eligible next
week. That's okay.
Week.
Don't be sorry. Good. Yeah. I'm glad you called and gave it a shot.
Hey, you gave it a go. Have a great weekend. And the good news is you're eligible next week.
And
next
by the
Friday.
Way, David Ortiz also a little short of the 600 homers. He had only 541 while playing.
Well, it took him a...
The answer, Darren, do you know?
Pujols?
He has 656 going into today. Yep,
Pujols?
Albert Pujols. 656.
Just trying to think of a guy who's been around forever and is really good. Okay. So he's
that
the only
correct.
One.
He's the only active player with over 600. The next man on the active list, you got to go all the way down to Miguel Cabrera with 477.
If memory serves me correct, Big Poppy, it took a while to get going, right? I mean, he was in Minnesota. Nobody even remembers him, really, with the Twins.
He was in Seattle before Minnesota.
I don't even remember that. I only remember him being with the Twins. I mean, he spent many seasons with the Twins, and he didn't play much. I know he was – I think he was – well, I don't know why he didn't play much, but I just remember he was there for years. And then, you know, he goes to Boston, and it's like the first season, I think he had 30-plus home runs. It's like, who is this guy? It's like, oh, yeah, that's the guy that was with the Twins for years. Yeah. Of course, people also suspect how became a monster. There's things thrown out there, but nonetheless, I'm a little surprised he was not. I'm just saying that was out there. I didn't say I was putting it out. It was out there. So he was a little bit shy of 600. Okay, let's go back to the phones. He's pitching in about 4 hours, so I don't believe this is Sonny Gray, but Sonny is on the line. Sonny, welcome into Friday Trivia.
Hey guys,
how you doing?
Pretty good, driving down to the lake. How are y'all doing?
Oh, well, we're not doing as good as you. You'll be having a lot of fun. Are you going to be there all weekend or just for today?
Just the whole weekend.
Wow, okay. Where would you like to start, baseball or Predators?
Baseball.
All right, let's go baseball. This slugger / speedster in the 1990s for the Baltimore Orioles is the only player in Major League history to have a year where he had 20-50 and 50, and then a year with 50-20. In other words, 20 homers and 50 stolen bases in one season, 50 homers and 20-plus stolen bases in a separate season. Slugger, outfielder for the Orioles in the 1990s. But remember, he's got to have the combination of power and speed.
I feel like you asked this question a couple weeks ago, and I can't remember who it was.
I did mention this a few weeks ago. It was not part of the trivia, but I did mention it. I think it was when Darren was on vacation.
Multiple choice.
Oh, wow. We don't have the lifeline.
Darren,
today.
What do you think?
No guitar. It's your call.
Are you feeling charitable?
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Yeah, sure.
I mean, I've given a hint. It's a Baltimore Orioles 1990s outfielder.
I don't know the answer.
I'll give you one more hint.
Is he bat left, Willie? Was he a lefty?
He bats left. I'll give that hint. Okay. And I will also tell you this. When he hit 50 homers. It was a little bit of an anomaly. He was not known as a year-in, year-out slugger.
So I was right.
Was it Gary Anderson?
Is that your final guess?
Yes.
Gary Anderson, The kicker.
Brady.
I just
Brady Anderson.
Say,
okay.
Yeah, but we helped a lot. He had to go with Gary. I'm sorry. Your prize, Sonny, is you get to go to the lake. So you win. So thanks for doing this.
Darren, you're eligible. The judges
next
are not
week.
Accepting.
Have a great weekend. No, he said Gary Anderson. What are you gonna? I mean, I get it.
But he switched.
I know, man, but
We can only spoon feed him so much. I mean, that was a series of hints.
Brady Anderson.
To
was,
a pretty interesting question. Stump your friends with that one. I actually got that one from Jason Stark. That was a really good one. Only 20-50 and 50-20.
That 50 season was an anomaly. And, of course, a lot of people went, really? Huh. That's weird how that came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
and then the
up.
Very next year went right back to what we'd been accustomed to from him. So it was a weird
deal. Yeah,
there
was a little, what's up there? What's up?
Is Mike still on the line? I don't have a phone screener. William is up next here on Friday Trivia. William, welcome in.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How you doing?
Doing fine. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, where would you like to start, baseball or Predators?
Since I'm weak with the Predators, I'm going to start there first.
So you want to start with the Predators?
Yes.
Okay.
Aha. Strategy.
Let's do this, William. Dan Hamhuis, their defenseman, is on their second stint. Of course, the Predators drafted Dan Hamhuis. He spent a long time in Nashville, and then he went out and went away for a while. But he's been back now. He's been back for a couple of seasons. He spent his time away with two organizations. Both were in the Western Conference, and one of them was in their division. I ask you to just give me one of the teams that he played for after he left the Predators, and I've given you two big hints. Both were in the Western Conference, and one of them was in the division. Can you give me one of the teams he played for?
St. Louis.
The St. Louis Blues is the guess from William. They are indeed in the Predators division, but unfortunately, it's not what we were looking for.
Ugh.
The Dallas Stars were the team in the division, and the team that he actually spent the most time with that was in the Western Conference in the other division was the Vancouver Canucks. He was a Canucklehead for a while. William, no shame.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for trying. I like his strategy. Let's go with the weaker one first. If I can get that, I feel good about baseball. The good news is William is eligible next week. All right, let's step away. Let's pause. Let's take a break. Willie, we need winners. We need to come back. We need to regroup.
Keep going. We want winners. 737-1025. Jump in. Let's go.
We need some winners. We'll come back on the other side. We'll try to get some winners. Friday Trivia on ESPN 1025 The Game. Coach Stack. Speaking of college basketball, we had a good chat with Casey Alexander earlier in the program, Belmont basketball coach. Got loaded lines, Willie. Ready to give away some Dunkin' Donuts gift cards.
I'd like to hear it.
We need some winners.
All right, let's move fast then. We got to go. We got limited time. Let's go.
We need winners. 615-737-1025. Predators and baseball are the categories. Let's go with Mason. Mason, you're up next. Welcome into Friday Trivia.
Appreciate it, guys. Also, it is not beautiful in North Nashville. It is
Oh, man,
I can tell you on the east side, it just started coming down hard.
Really?
Here, it's been cloudy.
Sunny
for a
and
while
beautiful
now.
In Smyrna.
To come down. Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
I was going to say, is that just north of town, or is that coming to blanket Middle Tennessee? I didn't know it was raining north of town. Okay. Thanks for the heads up, Mason.
Yeah.
All right, where did you want to start?
Let's do this. Let's go baseball.
Baseball.
All right, here we go. 2012 was a special year in the Cy Young category, especially for Nashvillians. R.A. Dickey and David Price, two guys that grew up here, won the Cy Young in the same year, one in the AL, one in the NL. I need you to tell me the teams that they were pitching for at the time.
R.A. Dickey was the New York Mets, and David Price, I want to say it was Boston.
Is that your final answer?
Oh, gosh, I hope so.
He says R.A. Dickey was a Met, David Price was a Red Sox in 2012, and that is
incorrect.
It's only half correct.
Yep. R.A. was
with
the
guys
Mets.
Both guys pitched for a few different teams. R.A. was with the Mets, yeah. But David Price was still with the Rays at that time.
Dang it. That was the other one I was on. Cool, guys. Hope y'all have a good rest of your day. I really appreciate y'all.
You too, Mason. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, we got to turn the page. We got to move on. We need winners.
Need winners. Let's go to, how about Chris? Chris, you're up next here on Friday Trivia. Where would you like to start?
Baseball.
All right. This pitcher in the National League won four consecutive. Check that. No, that's correct. This pitcher in the National League won four consecutive Cy Youngs between 1992 and 1995.
Greg Maddux.
He says Greg Maddux, and that is correct.
All right.
One with the Cubs, the next three with the Braves.
Halfway home. Chris, Predators for the victory. That was not a vote of confidence. You didn't
it wasn't,
sound good
it
about
didn't
that.
Seem too confident there.
Is this a weaker category for you?
Yeah, it'll be towards the bottom of the list.
Okay, then I'll change my question, right, and I'll make it multiple choice for you.
All right, thank you.
Yannick Weber, who's a defenseman for the Predators. Have you heard of him?
No.
Oh, boy.
Honest answer, no.
Okay. Like I said, I'm going to give you multiple choice. He is from this country. Okay? Is it
okay.
A, Switzerland? Is it B, Finland? Or is it C, Sweden? Yannick Weber is from A, Switzerland, B, Finland, C, Sweden for the win.
Let's do Sweden.
Sweden for the win. Is he right?
He is not.
So sorry. He is actually Swiss. He is like the captain, Roman Josi. He is from Switzerland. You know what, though, Chris? It's not a bad guess. There's a lot of professional hockey players from Sweden, and there's a lot on the Preds from Sweden.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you
but the
giving
fact
me
remains, Darren.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, good
yeah,
shot.
We still
have a great weekend.
All right. Fantastic, boys. Thank you.
We need some wins. We need some wins. We got to keep moving. 737-1025. Time is ticking.
Time
no
is
winners
ticking.
Yet. No Dunkin'
no
Donuts.
I know. We need winners. 615-737-1025. Let's go to see. There's another William on the line. William, welcome into Friday Trivia. Where would you like to start?
I'll start out with the Predators.
Okay. What's your level of confidence?
Not the best, but not the worst. But baseball is the one I'm worried about.
Oh, so you're more worried about baseball. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Philip Forsberg got hot there at the end before the pause, William. He had a couple of goals in the Montreal game, the final game that they played before the pause. He had a goal against Dallas. So he had, what, three goals in the last three games? So ended on a high note, 20-plus goals. And in that little streak where he was scoring goals, he tied Shea Weber for most goals in franchise history. So he's on second on the list, second, tied for second with Shea Weber, the former captain, for second most goals in franchise history. But he's still behind the all-time leader in the goals department for the Predators, who was the all-time goals leader with 210 in Predators franchise history. Who was Philip Forsberg trying to pass at the top?
Ooh. Only thing I can even guess, I would say David Lindgren.
Is that your final guess?
Yeah, that's my final guess.
William, that is correct. Yes, David Lindgren sits atop the lead in Predators franchise history with 210 goals. Currently, Philip Forsberg has 166.
Okay.
My guess, bold prediction, Philip Forsberg will be that leader one day. That's not very bold.
I agree.
Not very bold. All right, baseball for the win.
Baseball for the win. In 2012, Miguel Cabrera of the Detroit Tigers became the first player and the only player since 1967 to do this. And here are the guesses. Here are the choices. A, hit 380 or higher in a season. B, hit 60 or more home runs in a season. C, win the Triple Crown.
I'm going to go with, just a guess off the head, I'll go with C.
You say C, win the Triple Crown. Is that your final guess?
Yep.
That is correct. We have a winner.
Wow. All right. All right, William. Did you feel good about that?
No, it was just a guess. Hey, they taught me in school when you don't know, guess C.
There you
go. C. All right, all right.
Well, there you go. It worked out. Dunkin' Donuts gift card coming your way. We'll put you on hold and get all your info. Thanks for playing. 615-333-7. 330,
44 homers and 139 RBIs. Miguel Cabrera, Triple Crown in 2012. 1967, Carl Yastrzemski was the last guy to do it.
Wow.
Before that. Hard to do.
737-1025. We have a winner for Dunkin' Donuts gift cards. Just got a couple more minutes for you to jump in there and for you to win. All right, let's go to Adam. Adam, you're up next. Welcome in.
Boys, happy Friday. I would like to trade both these topics for all-time Titans trivia if I can't go off.
You cannot go off the board.
Okay. Couple more weeks, you'll get plenty of Titans trivia if
yep.
all goes well.
All right, man. I guess start with the Preds, man. I hit the last four, but, man, I struggled early, so we'll see what happens.
Well, you're on a roll then. If you've hit the last four, then okay, you're coming in on a heater.
All right.
We'll see. All right, I'm going to give you multiple choice. How about that?
Okay.
When the pause happened, UC Saros was on fire. He was the hot goaltender. John Hines, the head coach, was riding him, and he had started 15 of the last 21 games. Well, the Predators ended on a three-game winning streak, Adam, when everything came to a screeching halt. And two of those games before Montreal being the final game, were against the Dallas Stars. It was a home and home, and UC was in net for both and pitched shutouts in both. And then he didn't give up a goal until the third period against Montreal. And the reason I tell you that is there's significance behind that. It vaulted him into second place, all-time longest shutout streak. He went over 180 minutes without giving up a goal. So he had some time before the Dallas game, the two Dallas shutouts, and then all the way until the third period of the Montreal game. So he went 181 minutes and 7 seconds, to be exact, without giving up a goal. But that's only second on the list. There's actually a goalie that did it longer in Predators franchise history, over 200 minutes. Name that goalie, and I'll give you multiple choice.
Oh, God.
Is it A, Dan Ellis? Is it B, Chris Mason? Or is it C, Mike Dunham?
Oh, God. So, immediately I was thinking Chris Mason. I'm like, they got to find a way to work this dude in here. But I was, for some reason, thinking Thomas Vokoun. So I guess I'm just going to throw it all on Mace, man, and maybe I'll get to tell him one day that I got wrong for picking him. But I'll just go with Chris Mason and see what happens.
Chris Mason is the guess. And, oh, my gosh, Adam, you have to tell Chris Mason you did miss. It was not that, Chris Mason. Who would have been your next guess?
That sucks. I was thinking Thomas Vokoun for some reason, man. Like, that feels like something he would do.
Do you know why I didn't give you Thomas Vokoun?
You Pekka in there,
or Pekka, right.
Trying to mess with me.
Well, I didn't throw Pekka and Vokoun in there because I thought that's exactly where you would go. So I was trying to – I was trying to steer you in the right direction. The answer was A, Dan Ellis.
Dang.
233 like minutes he pitched shutouts. Longest shutout streak in Predators franchise history.
That's surprising to me.
Yep. Probably for a lot. Adam, good stuff. Have a great weekend.
Yep, dude.
The snowstorm that kept Pekka Rinne from coming down from Milwaukee. That was a famous stretch there.
Yep.
For Dan Ellis. He would have been replaced by Pekka had a snowstorm not kept Pekka from coming in to jump in to try to save the Predators season, and instead Dan Ellis went on an unreal run to get him into the playoffs.
How about that? By the way, that's why I was trying to help him. That's why I didn't throw Pekka and Vokoun in the mix. I threw in Mike Dunham.
Yep.
If somebody would have said Mike Dunham, I would have said, yeah, just hit the buzzer. All right, we've got time for one more. Let's see if we can get one more winner. Nick, you'll be our final contestant here on Friday Trivia. Where would you like to start?
Let's go with Preds. I got a Preds shirt on. Let's start there.
Okay. It's very simple, and he is actually Here we go, Nick. There is only one player in Predators franchise history that has recorded 6 consecutive 20-goal seasons. Only player in Predators franchise history to register 6 20-goal seasons would be whom?
Is it Forsberg? Phil Forsberg?
Would it be Philip Forsberg? Yes, that is correct. Well done, Nick. You're halfway there. Baseball for the win.
I'm very nervous.
All right.
Very nervous.
Here we go. Who became, in 1975 and 1976, the first second baseman to ever win back-to-back MVPs? And here are the guesses. Was it A, Joe Morgan? Was it B, Willie McGee? Was it C, Ryan Sandberg? Or was it D, Pete Rose?
Oh, God. I know the name Joe Morgan. That's the only one I know. So let's go Joe Morgan.
He says A, Joe Morgan. And that is correct.
All right.
We end on a high note, Darren.
Nick, congratulations.
Right. It was Joe Morgan.
Well done. We're going to put you on hold. Get your info. We end on a high note. Mic drop. Boom. We'll come back. A really good baseball discussion with Chris Rose. That's next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chris Rose, MLB Network, does a great job, Intentional Talk, where you can find his work, and he does a lot of things involving sports. But right now, we're going to talk a little baseball with him. Chris, how you doing?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
I looked for a cardboard cutout of you last night. I couldn't find one.
Well, you didn't look closely enough. And we're in four parks, Millar and myself. I think we're in Dodger Stadium, although nobody can really nail down exactly where we are. I believe we're in Seattle, Oakland, and in my hometown of Cleveland, Ohio.
All right.
Hey.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
I like it because I look significantly thinner in my cardboard cutout than in real life. So, I mean, I'm all for this stuff.
At least they got it right. What's bad, Chris, is sometimes I've seen players when their bobblehead or something like that comes out and they look at it and they're like, that's the bobblehead? That doesn't look like me. I have actually seen players send it back and say, we can't do that. You've got to do this over. So at least they got your cutout right.
No, that's no question. And actually, I've been fortunate enough to have a bobblehead for both the MLB Network and the NFL Network that I work for. And for the MLB, it's me and Millar sitting at a desk. And my youngest son, probably when it came out, he was probably 9 at the time or 8 or something. And he looked at it and he goes, Dad, they gave you way too much hair. I'm like, screw you. Good luck at your allowance with this kid. Beat it.
There goes your college fund, kid.
Right.
You're a loose guy, but I thought your cardboard cutout looked a little stiff. All right, I'm going to move on before you hang up on us. Let me start with the Cleveland thing real quick, okay, before we do a headfirst dive into last night and moving forward. It seems like we went up there once and had a discussion with somebody who covers the Indians. It seems like there's real movement to possibly change their nickname. How do you feel about that? Where are you at on that?
So I am a lifelong Clevelander in the sense that that's where my heart is. I've lived in L.A. for the last 20-plus years, but I grew up in Cleveland, diehard Indians, Browns, Cavs fan, and it's something that should have been done a long time ago, changing the name. It's pretty simple. My opinion, and it might not be everybody's opinion, I don't root for a team because of their nickname. And if it can be deemed even mildly offensive or just inappropriate, let's just move on. There's plenty of other nicknames we can choose from. There really are. So I root for the players on the team. The memories I have as a child growing up and now as a father of two are because of the players, not because of the nickname. So to me, it's not that big a deal, you know?
I mean, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, now, once again, that's my opinion.
Yeah.
Not everybody feels that way. There's some people who say, well, why are we always going to, we're going to find something wrong with every nickname out there. That's not the way I see it, but I think that there are certain nicknames that should be moved on from. And so I'm all for it.
Do you think they're going to actually do it?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
I do.
What did you make of the owner? Go ahead.
The owner actually had a meeting with the team the other day, and I think he wanted the team's, not necessarily the input, but maybe, you know, and I haven't gotten to the bottom of exactly what was said during that team meeting, but I know that they met about it and also some social injustice issues, which I totally applaud management for. I think, unfortunately, the gap between player and ownership, I'm just talking from an emotional standpoint, has gotten so severe that the players feel like, hey, you know, we're just another employee. You know, there should be the ability to come together on a lot of issues, you know, and at least have a discussion. I mean, that's what we're talking about, I think, in the greater good of society, is just being able to talk things out and understand people's viewpoints, whether you're the owner of a team, the player, the person who takes the tickets, whomever. We all should have a voice in how we feel.
I ask because I'm a huge Indians fan. I actually was covering the Indians in the 90s before I moved to Nashville. So I covered the 95 and 97 team. My first gig out of school was in the scoreboard room in the first year at Jacobs Field in 94. So I've got a lot of history there, and I was just curious on your thoughts. We've also, Chris, gotten to know Mookie Betts really well over the years. Of course, Nashville, you're a kid that grew up here, and certainly made a lot of news in the last 24, 48 hours with that contract. What did you make of that? What do you make of Mookie now with the Dodgers?
So when I found out, when I woke up that day and heard about the possibility of the $350-plus million extension at the time was being reported, I was like, wow, this is pretty substantial during a pandemic and the fact that the collective bargaining agreement expires after next season. So, but then when you sit down and you think about it, I think it just goes to show you exactly who Mookie Betts is. And you guys probably know it from talking with him. I know from covering him over the last several years that he is A's across the board. you know, you start with the talent because obviously guys don't get paid if they're just good guys. But if they hit 208, they're not getting $365 million. He's got the talent. He's got the durability. Yeah, he missed close to 30 games last year, but that was really the first time he had been slowed down in his career. He's in the prime of his career at age 27. Then you get to everything else, the work ethic. I can just tell you this. A bunch of years ago, Millar and I, we were doing a show, Intentional Talk, live from Yankee Stadium before the Yankees-Red Sox game. And we get there at 2 o'clock, which is 3 hours before our show and 5 hours before first pitch. And usually nobody's out there. Well, who's on the field taking early BP? Mookie Betts. He's the only guy on the field taking early batting practice. And one of the Yankees coaches walked out, and he looked at him, and he shook his head, and he goes, I can't believe it. He's like, if you were to line up the 50 players that were going to play that night, me in uniform, he's number one in terms of talent, and he's the only guy on the field.
Yep.
That shows you exactly all you need to know.
Willie, that falls under the category of quiet time that Trent Dilfer used to tell us about all the time, right? It's the time that nobody sees and understands how certain athletes get to where they are. It's the quiet time, and there's a prime example of it right there.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, you're going to have days where you're just not your best, but there's no reason not to have days where you don't work your best, right? And so if the guy you're paying $365 million to is also the guy who's showing up first, hey, man, nobody else has an excuse. Nobody.
You understand that, Mark. You said you've been out there now more than two decades in L.A., and we were talking about this as well. You know what that huge contract becomes, huge expectations. L.A. is a huge market, second largest in the country. You understand how it's covered out there and discussed on the platforms. How do you think, and with that huge contract will come big, bright lights, how do you think he'll handle the constant, you know, whatever, talk, scrutiny, however you want to put it, the minute he goes 0-4 for three straight games with that contract, how do you think it'll be covered out there? Tell us.
Well, he did play in Boston, right?
Yeah, he did. Boston's worse, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Now, it is it's a good baseball town. You know, L.A. obviously has a tough time because there's so many transients and there's so much other stuff to do that it's not a great sports town. It is a really good Lakers town, and it's a good Dodgers town. So they are passionate about it, and they do care. And, you know, for them, they've been a little frustrated because they've won seven straight division crowns, but they haven't finished the deal since 1988. So, yeah, I mean, there's going to be that mounting pressure if, you know, they don't get it done this year. Maybe it's you let them slide because it's such a weird season and an expanded playoffs. But if starting in 2021, there's some issues. Yeah, I mean, players are going to hear it, but they know that. And believe me, if there's a guy that can handle anything, it's Mookie Betts.
Talking to Chris Rhodes from MLB Network, Intentional Talk. And Chris, I actually saw your show yesterday, and it was right as the playoff format was getting announced, and not all the details were in there yet, and you and Kevin were kind of going back on the basics of it. But so let's start there. 16 teams, I just don't think of baseball that way. I don't see it as a tournament sport. It's a long-haul kind of thing. And the idea of a team, let's say, that goes 29-31, that could beat a team in a 2 out of 3, which is very possible, that might win 38 games or something like that. I don't like that as a baseball fan, but what do you think?
Well, you know, I went into this thing when we opened up summer camp at the beginning of July and came back on the air. I said, listen, everybody, the key word here for everyone, I'm talking players, management, coaches, fans, is flexibility. You have to be, because everything's on the table this year. And that includes an expanded playoffs. I mean, we understand why it's being done. Obviously, the owners are getting more money during, you know, from TV revenue because of expanded playoffs. But it also keeps your interest, right? I mean, it's over a 60-game sprint. Now, how many teams are not going to be involved heading into the last week of the season? You know, I could guess there's maybe going to be three or four that legitimately don't have a shot at one of those eight playoff spots. I do understand your trepidation a bit because, you know, there are teams in the NBA that make it sometimes with a 500 record, and you're like, what are those teams doing in there? But the odds of an eight seed knocking off a one seed in that sport are very, very low just because of the talent disparity and because one player can make such a huge difference. Here, your starting pitcher lays an egg, which always happens at some point during the season. You know, that can happen. And then all of a sudden, the higher seeded team loses game one, and they're like, holy smokes, this comes down to one game season for us. So, yeah, there's that possibility. There totally is. But, you know, I hate to say it, but that's just the way that we're going to roll this year.
Yeah, and this year I can live with it. I think I'm concerned for how, you know, once you do it, can you put the genie back in the bottle? Especially because it will be exciting, for sure. There will be upsets and unexpected things. And, Chris, what about the thing? I don't think this had come out when you guys were on the air yesterday, but naming your opponent, you know, the first-place team saying, we want to play X in the first round. What do you think of that?
Well, has that become official or is that still a rumor?
I think it's still a rumor. I can't tell. I don't know. Like I would think now that this is day two of the season, you'd think somebody would make an announcement. But that's
right.
That's so been kicked around, hasn't it?
As an employee of the MLB Network, I will wait until it becomes factual to make my stance on that. How's that sound? I've got my attorney sitting right next to me, giving me a thumbs up. I'm kidding. I don't do these radio interviews with my attorney. They're joking, right?
So any one thing that you're looking for in terms of the new rules that are out there, the three-batter rule, the guy on second in the extra innings, anything you like, don't like about what we're going to see with these experiments they're going to go with?
So, you know, the three-batter rule actually did come into effect. I don't know if you guys were still up watching the Dodger-Giant game, but there's a guy named Kolarik who's essentially was a left-handed specialist a year ago, and I think he had the most number of one batter appearances a season ago. So that's the sort of guy that it would affect the most. He came in last night, and I think when he came in, something really interesting happened. Gabe Kapler pinch hit for Brandon Crawford in like the seventh inning of what was still a close game. And I was like, whoa, that's big news. You know, they wanted to get a right-handed stick in there for him, for a guy who helped them get the multiple World Series rings. And then he ended up pitching to like four batters or something. And he even forgot that the rule was in effect. So that one, I think, although I understand people might not like it, you'll get used to it. The one I'm looking forward to is actually the extra inning rule. Like, I'm all in favor of this one. And I have been ever since our youngest son, who's 14 now, is like eight. And he played on an all-star team where we were in a tournament, and we get the extra innings in the semifinal game, and we were like, well, what do we do in extra innings? They're like, well, we do this thing called the California something or other rule, where a runner starts on second at the beginning of an inning, and my son ended up being the guy at the plate, and he knocked in the go-ahead run. We ended up winning the game and beating our arch rival. And I was like, this is awesome. So the only thing I'm disappointed about is that they didn't name it the Brady Rose rule this year moving forward. I think people, although they see it on paper and they're like, oh, that thing sucks, let's let it play out. And I think you might enjoy it more than you think you will.
That is what our colleagues at the Nashville Sound said.
Yep. They told
in
us
the
triple
A. They started off as this is terrible, what are we doing? And by the end of the season, they're like, this is great.
They loved it. Yep.
Yeah.
That's what the general manager of the Sounds told us. Yep.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, is that we have to stop being, if there's one thing we have learned about society right now, you can either sit there and moan about situations and everything we're in, or you can adjust. You know what? Adjusting might not be the most comfortable thing in your life. Try it. You might find you like something.
Yeah. By the way, does your son get money now as enough time elapsed, or is he still not receiving any money?
No, well, at this point, I can tell you this. with us basically still being in quarantine in California, and they're going to have to do virtual schooling and stuff, I'm just like, here, dude, just take my credit card. You're good. Just have at it, bro.
So, so that's where you are in the Rose household, okay?
Yeah, we've just pretty much given up, guys.
Hey, appreciate you doing this. Good talk, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, guys, take care and stay healthy.
All right, good stuff from Chris Rose, MLB Network. Love talking some baseball with him. That is going to do it for us today. You have a safe and wonderful weekend. We'll be back at it Monday morning at 10 a.m. Man, we'll have lots to talk about, especially as the NHL gets that much closer to return to play. We'll talk to you then. Have a great weekend.